we're back. It's Sliders Podcast. I'm your host, Who's Taff. Find that on the pod, aka the champion. And to my left, who have I got?
You got your boy Mo, aka the wild card.
On my right,
your boy Tom, man in the streets, voice of the people, what them.
And we got a special guest in the building. We got
Fola.
Okay. Any AKAs, Fola?
There's none.
BT's boy.
What? Isn't that I beg your pardon?
BT's boy. I follow Beats.
I follow G. I
follow C. The BT's boy thing. I just got it from Nux, the musician. You heard of him?
Nux, yeah.
It was like a little track on Interlude, as you would call it, cool. On one of his albums. So I just thought it was cool. And then I was like, you know what? That's going to be my Twitter handle.
Right.
I've changed it to my regular name now. So
what does Beatties mean though?
I don't know. I just thought it sounded cool.
It sounds wavy. Right, cool. It's wavy and mysterious. We like it. Okay. And on today's episode, we're talking about Genius, you know, and Genius, AKA the Kanye West documentary. And we all watched it. And yeah. I think it's still releasing at the time of this recording. We're going to be talking about the first episode of Genius and just the... What we took away from it, different parts that we liked, key moments in it. And it just this might be a conversation about Kanye West overall. Like, he's in the media right now. At the time of this recording, his album hasn't dropped. So it's going to be everything Kanye this episode. Genius. What were your thoughts for them?
I can't even lie. We're only on episode one, and it's literally one of my favorite documentaries already. Mm-hmm. And it's so inspiring for the fact that his cameraman had left his job behind to record Kanye before his career even started. Shows that he had that belief in him. Can you imagine that? Literally, you left your comfortable situation to record a struggling rapper to make the distinction that he was a successful producer producing beats for people like Jay-Z, for example. But his road to where he is now as a rapper, it wasn't easy whatsoever.
It wasn't. And you know... Like what you were saying, Mo was saying something similar to that yesterday about there's betting on yourself. This is what Mo was saying. He can elaborate, but yeah, there's betting on yourself and then there's betting on someone else. And exactly. If Kanye flops, you flop too.
Exactly.
And it's not just that. It's like you flopped putting your life on someone else's hands, you get me? But yeah, what else were you thinking on that?
Pretty much just a number of followers. What he got from the thing. Really inspiring. Definitely the best documentary I think that will ever be made. Because from this point...
Across all genres, though, come on.
No, because I think from this point, yeah, in terms of, like, authentic documentary, because Kanye's brought this out and he's done it from when he was early, anyone that now does a documentary from early, they're kind of imitating Kanye's. So it's not an original idea.
Mm.
Whereas Kanye is practically the first to have a documentary from this age, before I was successful, follow me for 20-plus years, or it's about 21, 20 years at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And he blew. And he was actually successful.
Volume.
Sorry.
Microphone.
And he was actually successful. Yeah.
It's not you today, Tom.
We know. I'm just saying, did you see them sound waves?
Yeah. I apologize. But imagine all those other people, because there's probably people out there that maybe had similar ideas about, oh, let me record myself, I'm going to blow. You can have faith in yourself, but it doesn't mean it's always going to like follow through. So in terms of, documentary that's authentic, from the beginning before you got successful and you actually became successful as well. That's one in a trillion type story.
Wait, exactly. Real quick, I haven't seen many documentaries, but you've seen, was it the Ronaldo documentary? Like you've seen some football documentaries.
I've seen a couple football documentaries.
And how would you compare those in terms of style and authenticity?
The way documentaries are usually told anyway is that they get people from your life.
Yeah.
So they'll take people from your life from early, when you weren't successful, to when you are successful, in between, gather stories that are just going to hit home. And those are still good documentaries.
Exactly.
Like those are still documentaries that are going to be worth being made, even after Kanye's, right? But Kanye's is, he's getting the people in the moment. Getting people in the moment while you're not successful on that journey to hopefully being successful is crazy.
Yeah, as you were saying on that, did you see the part where he got Pharrell to speak into the camera?
Exactly.
Like, Pharrell was massive at that time. He's produced many of the hits that we've heard, that we've all heard and loved. For example, Hot In Here.
Yeah.
And he's produced some songs off the Justin Timberlake Justified album. So he's up there at the time.
Huge. Yeah.
And then for the fact that Kanye came out here and asked him to speak into the camera for his documentary, way back in the early 2000s, as Mo said, yeah, that's quite different.
Bro, yeah, it's crazy because you're not getting someone to be like, okay, cool. If Pharrell did that now, yeah, of course. You would just be like, of course, okay, cool. Of course, you believed in Kanye, sure. Everyone back then probably did, cool. Like, it could be bullshit. But you're getting called out 20 years ago. You're fully just saying to the camera, yeah, Kanye's going to be the next big thing. His mum was backing him. Like, obviously, you'd always hope your parents are backing you, whatever you're doing, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. But his mum is literally one of his... You could always say that anyway, because you can tell through his music. But his mum has literally been one of his biggest driving factors. The belief that she had in him. That little scene where they were rapping together. And it's, yeah, one of his raps when he was young. Mm. Mm. And she remembered the lyrics. And then it brought it back to him. And then he started spitting it. Mm. And even though she had just done it, it was different when it was coming from Kanye. Yeah? It's just, it's inspiring. And it's just different. Like, the... What you can take from it when it's in that actual time,
yeah.
I just think it's,
yeah, we'll cut into that invaluable further about just a supportive parental figure and what it truly means to like believe in your child. Because,
yeah,
there's honestly a lot of good parents that are there that believe in their child, but that is
it makes such a massive difference having, yeah, that parental backing behind you as well.
When you look at examples like Lewis Hamilton, Serena Williams, like those parents, like they believed in their kids that, like, you are going to be the next big thing.
Exactly.
Tiger Woods as well. Like, when you see in sports especially, I think sports, we see it more in sports because sports is more tangible for, yeah, a parent to be like, yeah, I can see you playing for a team. You don't have to play for the top five, but you can maybe play for a decent team.
You could say it's more linear in the sense, yeah, whereas a musician, like the career as a musician, it can go up and down. Like, for example, yeah, there are many artists that we all heard of back in 2017, 18. They're here today and gone tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
As, for example, who can I? Lil Pump. Has anyone heard of him recently?
He's chopping things on OnlyFans.
That's my point. Exactly. Here today, gone tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Just make one good hit, eat off that, and then do whatever you want. And you're not really a legend, as you would say.
Exactly. Yeah. Or even just succeeding in the career, going back to that tangibility of, I can see you playing for a team.
Exactly.
Not the best one, but you can play for a team and make a career. So let's put all this energy into football, right?
Mm.
With an artist, bro, you might not even make it. Like, I can't envision that.
Exactly.
You rapping, like, what do you mean you want to rap? I'm on the corners for coins. Is that what you mean by rap?
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean by rapping that? You don't see it. So it's harder to believe in your child creativity-wise, whether it's them painting, acting, all these other things. I think Damson Idris, yeah, the star for Snowfall, I saw a little bit about his background and how he was acting from young. Like, he always wanted to be an actor as a kid,
mm-hmm,
and his parents backed it and put him into schools. Look where he is now. He's pretending to be a drug dealer in America right now. Mm. It's mad. But real quick, Tom, your thoughts on the documentary as well?
I thought it was quite interesting because it touched on, I know my favorite part of the documentary was when it touched on his relationship with his mentor. Like, you know, the brother, the one that ended up even releasing a diss track about him.
Oh, the guy that helped him,
yeah,
learn how to make beats.
Yeah. I found that mad interesting.
What was his name again?
Start with a D, didn't it?
Exactly, bro. No one knows who he is now.
They're not around no more.
Now, I just found that I found that relationship quite interesting because he felt disrespected from an interview that Kanye did.
Hmm.
And man turned around and started rapping about it in a song. And even the way they even handled it in person, like, you know, because they even showed the footage, mm, from them, like, you know, talking about hashing it out in the parking lot. I was like, this is mad, you know. Man, it wasn't just like, oh, I'm partying. Let me film it or nothing. Man documented everything that was going on, from like him working to his family life to beef he had with previous mentors. I just thought that was, it was just mad insightful into like what actually went into making someone like Kanye.
Yeah.
Because even from then, like, no one believed in Kanye more than Kanye. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Second to that is his mom.
Honestly. Because
the thing is, even his mom, like, she wanted him to go to uni, but she still supported him, even though he didn't. Yeah. We're still back to that deep it. Like, what's an example? She knew every word of one of his songs from time ago.
Hey, yeah, Mama, yeah.
Deep it. How many people can say that their parents support their craft so much they can recite so much of their work?
Mm.
Mm.
Like, you have to deep how much this woman actually...
Very far and few.
Exactly. How much this woman supported and believed in her son.
Like, for most people, they're doing their creative businesses without their parents knowing, fam, because they're gambling on the chance that if I blow, then I can sell them because I have something to bring back. But yeah. if I flop, I'll just keep it to myself because you don't want your... Because with African parents, more time, as a black with the black British experience, immigrant parents, they're coming here like, you need to go to uni. All this music and football, that's not where your life will be.
It's because it's more linear. And to an extent, I understand it because it's sometimes it's all they know. Imagine your pet, for example... Your parents are working 70, 80 hour weeks in jobs that they may not enjoy. And then you come home from school telling him that you want to be a rapper. You want to create a clothing brand. He's like, you want to sell t-shirts? You want to do rap? Like, they're thinking like, what the fuck? We're going through all of this pain and suffering for you to want to be a rapper. Whereas uni, it's a thing where you do your own work and no one can take that away from you for the fact that your name, it says your name on the certificate, your uni, you got a 2-1 or a first. No one can take that away from you. It's as I said before, it's more linear than going into the creative industry.
Quick question,
One sec. And also, I stopped holding it against like my parents or just parents in general because I at some point, I saw my parents as human beings. And it sounds weird, but as a kid or growing up, you might not see them as human beings because they're these figures that they're almost like gods in the sense that they provide your shelter, your food, your entertainment. They look after you. They care for you. Anything you want. Mom, can I have this? Dad, can I have this? It's there. Like they just do things for you and all that stuff. So you don't see them as humans. You don't compare them to your peers. Like they're on a different level. But then when I put them on that thing where it's like, you're just a person like me, bro, that you came, you worked so hard. And in your head, you had a vision of I came from zero. I'm leveling up in life. Now you want to tell me you want to struggle. Like, bro, I didn't put this effort
in. Absolutely.
So that you can set the whole family back. I thought you'd be a doctor. Like, if I'm going to be a nurse and work these nursing shifts, there's so many people, immigrant parents do work nursing shifts, I'm expecting you to be a doctor. Like, you need to level up.
Exactly.
Not do something that will put you back down because how does that reflect to me? How do I feel and stuff? And I understand that perspective for them. That they're just people. But,
to be fair, I was going to say, cause I was surprised because when my dad came up to drop me off after Christmas, he saw, obviously, he sees all the equipment and everything. So he was like, and he didn't know about the podcast at all. Only my older sister did. So he was like, Tommy, you know, you should start a podcast.
Man realized you were talking too much from earlier and said, this is great for you.
It could be useful, because this is the same guy that was even against playing rugby because it would interfere with my uni work, schoolwork. Sorry. So this is the same guy, bare man, same man. You start a podcast. I'm like, you know, Dad, I was just like, I didn't say too much. Then he was like, you know, I'm busy with uni and that. Then he was like, again, I was saying very little. Yeah. He was like, you could do very well at it. You and your friends can start a podcast. So I was like, you know, I'll think about it, Dad. I'll think about it. I was like, I think the only reason I might not tell him is because I don't want my man listening to this thing still.
I hear that. But wait, you mentioned rugby and stuff, And like that, but parents having faith in it. Like, what was that like for you? Did your parents support rugby enough to a point where you like to a point that you'd say, yeah, they fully backed rugby?
Nah, they paid my membership for rugby. Probably that's probably the extent of it. They weren't really involved. They paid like my membership and got me my jerseys and stuff, which I actually appreciated. But that was probably the extent of it. Obviously, as soon as they thought it might interfere with my like schoolwork, they were like, "Tom, big man." I was like, "Mom, I'm in year 9. Leave me alone."
It's just vibes at this point. No serious exams.
It's like, you know, I was like, I'm not doing my GCSEs. So I was like, allow me. He's like, oh. She's like, no, you're getting. Look at this test. I'm like, Mom, I bet you when I finish school, you will not remember this test. But I'll remember not playing rugby. You will not remember this test.
I'll remember not playing. Yeah, that's deep, fam. That's deep.
Like even because I did quite a lot of extracurricular activities. I was quite involved. The way my parents listen, for each activity, there was a period where they tried to stop me from doing one of them because they thought it was interfering with my schoolwork. And now I can't blame them. But listen, I was fuming.
Yeah, it's one of those things as we get older, you have to give your parents some grace and see where they were coming from.
Yeah.
No, for real.
Because your parents know about the pod. How did they take that? Like, what was the conversation like when you told them about the pod?
There was no conversation.
No conversation?
It was just like, yeah, so I'm doing the podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. That was the end. My parents weren't too, they weren't too stressed. They weren't too fast, which was surprising. But my parents have got a lot more lenient as I've just got older.
Yeah, so definitely.
Just had less to say as long as I, you know, I'm passionate about it, so they ain't got nothing much to say.
Okay.
Sure, if I was trying to do football, some shit, they still say some shit. My mom's always got some shit to say about sports. Ah, oh, you'll break your leg here, you'll break your leg there.
I understand that leniency, because I'd visit my auntie in like brief periods, yeah, so like every 3 years, every 4 years or something. So maybe 5-6 years ago, I visited. Now you need to be on books, you need to be on uni, like you need to be education, you can't be out here on the streets. Cut to like, maybe 2 years ago now, bro, TikTok. You need to go on TikTok. You need to go on YouTube. she told me to my 9-year-old, 6-year-old cousin at the time, yeah? You're there watching these kids play on YouTube. We could be doing that too, man. Where's the bag? Like, why are you people not serious? She's not wrong, a soft life.
She's not wrong. She's not wrong.
She's not wrong.
No.
That Ryan brother, that kid on what, YouTube?
Which one? The one that plays with toys?
Yeah,
exactly.
That's why he's a millionaire.
Bare peas.
He makes bare peas, but you don't even have to go that far, bro. There's a family in Brum that my cousin just watched. They just watch this random black family. They go off to play football. Like, there's like, bro, there's bare these people. So they have like 6 kids. Mm. And like, they go play 5-a-side and they just watch them and record, and that's how they make their bag.
Would you mind be on that?
Nah. That's
wait, what?
Would you mind be on that with your family? Like, you know, this family YouTube thing. Like, maybe not as cheesy as the ones you see on like, what's called, the people that go, oh, the so-and-so fam. Mm. Or maybe not as cheesy as them ones, but maybe like, maybe even something like Steve-O.
Yeah, Steve-O.
Would you mind be on that?
I'll be more on the Steve-O one, because the difference between the ones on YouTube and Steve-O's is that the ones on YouTube are very staged. Mm. Like, it's very staged. But Steve-O's very casual, and, you know, he's just there in the moment, bro. Yeah. Like, he'll just say whatever. It's not staged. That's his natural life. He doesn't have to force it, because sometimes you look at these kids, bro, and you can see the red in their eyes, like they're tired.
their dad's telling you, do that again.
What, who you beat did, you? I beat him again. We need it on camera this time.
You went angry enough. Do that again.
Yeah,
that's on the like 10th attempt.
It's
well.
Like keeping up with the Kardashians, bro. Exactly.
To be fair, they did really. Wait, I swear they've had like 10 seasons or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they did really well. They did really.
That
well.
Is crazy.
Do you think the documentary will cover that? I hope it does.
Are they doing it?
It's two more episodes.
Two
of
more
the genius
episodes.
Ones.
But I wonder if the documentary is gonna be like Kanye off late in maybe the last 5-10 years, Kanye, because this is going back how many years now?
To be fair, I have a feel. So, I feel that the episode one is his beginning. Mm-hmm. I feel that episode two will be when he blew up, and episode three is when he started brewing in more. So, like, let's say 2007-09 era. Well, we'll see, because Kanye's been around for a long time, so there's a lot to go through in three parts. To be
there
fair,
is, I think episode two is definitely the crash and maybe his mom passing. And stuff like that. But yeah, I think the Kanye documentary, what I took away from it for me was like how scary it is to believe in oneself. You get me?
Yeah, it's really shunned upon because some people see him as arrogant. Personally, I see him that he has extreme self-belief.
Mm-hmm.
And for the fact that he came up the way he did, going through so much rejection with so much good content as well, is going to make you feel a way. So I understand why he behaves the way he does to a certain extent.
And it goes back to that supportive parental figure where he always got that reassurance from like from home. Like so because I have this reassurance from home, the outside world could tell me whatever it wants to tell me. But when I come back home, I'm like someone's backing me in it. But when like you're at home, your parents are telling you the same thing that the people from the outside's telling you, like it feels like no one's on your side.
Yeah.
You get me? Like it would generally feel like no one's on your side. But I mean, believing yourself as in like, forget like what anyone else is telling you, like whatever thing you want to do in life, do you, like if everyone watching this video in this room, like if you ask yourself the things you want to do in life, do you believe you can do them to the same degree Kanye believed he'll do what he do?
Mm.
And like, do you fully internalize and deep how scary it is to take a risk and do it and just do it? Cause like with uni, is the standard, you know, it's safe. Your chances of getting a job are better. I won't use the word guaranteed,
yeah,
but your chances of getting a job are a lot higher than if you go out and do this other endeavor that might be in a creative field, in sports, in this, in that, where there's no clear path for you. Uni is a clear road. Mm-hmm. Regardless, it's not a guaranteed road, but it's a clear line from point A to B.
Exactly.
When you can't see what your next step is, how brave are you to take that next step? You get me? And that's what the documentary made me question, like, yeah, everything that I want to do, how brave am I to actually take that step? You get me? And that's just something I was deep in, like, how do I even, like, practice, or what do I do to reassure myself, like, to give me that? Because I don't believe it's something you switch on after watching one documentary.
Exactly.
And it's suddenly you're the genius. Like, no. But I think it's just something that I'll just have to practice and build, you know. But I definitely took that away from the documentary.
Yeah, definitely.
No, but I feel like there should be some caution to the audience, mm-hmm, of your very inspiring message. Because a big thing you have to consider here is that for Kanye, even though his career as a rapper definitely wasn't set in stone at that, mm-hmm, point, mm, he was a well-established producer.
Yeah, exactly. That's
like, even if the rapping career flops, he still got beats.
Yeah.
He still got beats. He's already produced Jay-Z. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like that, he can still fall back to that. At that point, he was already well established. That's something. But then I'm not going to say that he already worked to get his producership, mm-hmm, to be as good as a producer as he was. Yeah, he already had to put crazy amount of hours in. Mm-hmm. So respect him for that. And then obviously still trying to go for the rapping thing because that's what he was making the beats for, mm-hmm, for him to rap on them, not for other people.
Yeah.
Then credit to that, mm-hmm, and that was the extremely brave part. Other people don't have that producership to fall back to. So obviously they should be more cautious in the way they're going about. I would say the more crazy story, if we're going to look at the Kanye documentary so far, is the cameraman, isn't it? Mm. Mm. Because as soon as he lets go of that career that he already had established and his family, all of that, to follow Kanye around 24/7.
Man moved to a different city to do it as well.
He's living off Kanye practically because he's not getting any money from the documentary until now. Mm. He's just getting, I'm just assuming Kanye was paying him this entire time that he was recording.
I looked at his page, like he's maybe directed some other stuff as well.
What, yeah. Small stuff here and there?
Yeah, maybe. Like, unless at some point Kanye said, let me start paying you or...
I would hope so.
He was working for like a TV show beforehand, wasn't he? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he had some like skills or background in TV that he could have used.
He's the guy that truly is like, yeah, I'm really going to have to put my life on this.
Yeah.
Mm. And then jumped in deep. Yep. And the guy jumped in deep with happened to be Kanye.
Okay. And then like off the back of that caution, then to fully divide like or to clear up what I'm saying, it's more believing in your ability. He believed in his abilities to be a rapper when everyone said he couldn't be a rapper and he was confident to do that. Mm. However, like you said, he had the skills of a talented producer. Mm. And when you break down practically what he did, those skills that he had allowed him to network and put him in rooms. So because he was a talented producer, he could be in the same room as Jay-Z. Like these people are talking about dinner with Jay-Z. He was recording with Jay-Z. You get me? Like he was seeing how at the biggest artist at the time, he saw how he recorded. He would hear nuggets of information and gems that Jay-Z might have dropped about the industry at that time or like how to go about as a rapper. So he had, you know, people he could look up to and learn from. And he put himself in that door. So it's not like he came out of nowhere and became a rapper. He networked and did all those other things.
He had a start.
Bear in mind, he had two mentors growing up. Well, at different times, obviously, that even taught him how to make beats. Because a lot of people will be like, if I believe in myself, yeah, the same way Kanye believed in himself, yeah, man's gonna be on Gram Daily every other week, bro. I'll do it. I'll be on every channel. Listen, I'll be on YouTube trending every day. Listen, Kanye had to learn from somewhere to get to a point where man don't have to listen to no one. Set man, I'm recording the same beats they've been recording for 2 years in the room, in their mum's house.
They refused to hear a word.
I agree.
No, I'm just saying, same room, nothing has changed. They will keep on doing the same thing, refuse to listen to anyone about or any critique about the music.
Yeah.
Still put out the same ass music.
Jesus. Is this ether or something? This is a podcast, not ether.
I'm just saying that. I'm just saying, you have to listen to someone to get to a point where you don't have to listen to no one.
Yeah, there has to be growth.
Kanye believed in himself. He believed he had talent, but man still learned.
And he studied his craft really
deeply.
Yeah. Like, there was this thing where I saw that he would reconstruct beats and make the same beat for certain songs. So for, I think it was Hypnotize, he made the beat for Hypnotize from scratch. I was like, you know what? It shows that he's actually dedicated to his craft and for the fact that he's able to reconstruct the beats and make them from scratch and do that with other songs too. So
yeah, and off the back what Tom's saying, there's, you have to believe in yourself and you need to have the work ethic to believe in yourself. Adaptability, like believing in yourself, it just gives you confidence to work hard enough, to go out and seek information, to be adaptable. That's what it's like a battery, and believing in yourself gives you the energy to do all those other things. It's not like energy on its own when you don't use it, it just sits there. You get me? Like, you believe in yourself, but you're not really doing anything to exercise that belief at the same time. So there's more components that go into it. Like, I get what you're saying, like people can just get lost in, I believe in myself, so
I can do it. I'm talented enough, and I believe in myself. From the get-go, with no experience in the music industry, these men will say, I'm talented enough, I believe in myself, I should be successful. Bruv, no experience in this industry, you think believing yourself is going to carry you the whole way there.
Yep.
Big man, you're dumb. You're actually dumb. Because...
You're Tommy, you're actually savage.
No, but you need someone like Tom, bro. You need someone like Tom.
You're actually dumb, because you need to learn. You need to grow as an artist. No one... Big man, Jay-Z didn't come out of the womb just spitting the bars he's spitting now.
He was on his corners dealing crack, spitting those bars in his head, memorizing them, because he couldn't write nothing down, had no pen, no paper, and then he'd go to the studio and them same bars he was spitting on the sidewalks, he remembered it, and that's how Jay-Z got his stuff.
Is that actually true, though?
Yeah, because Jay-Z doesn't write. I'll say 99% of the time, Jay-Z doesn't write. So he'd memorize his bars in his head, then go spit them straight out, so he wouldn't write anything.
I find it actually dope, correct?
Yeah, Jay-Z was a drug dealer, bro.
Oh, man.
I find it crazy that artists actually don't write their songs. Like, for me, Biggie's one of my favorite artists.
Who?
It's Notorious B.I.G.
Oh, yeah.
Biggie. And, like, I find it crazy that for one of his songs called Notorious Thugs, he didn't write that at all. He just spat it straight off the dome.
Sure.
Yeah.
Really?
He was, like, he was paranoid that some people would steal, like his rhyme and... writing books, so we just wrote some of his songs just straight off the dome.
No, that's true. It's like a chef
he spat his bars off the dome.
Okay, some people are just that talented.
He is that talented. But with Jay-Z, Biggie was freestyle, but with Jay-Z, it was just he'd write it in his head and just keep it in his head. He didn't freestyle it straight on the go, on the spot. He just recited what he remembered. But that's still talented in its own, because it's still amazing to remember an entire verse with a hook and everything like that. Yeah.
If you're going to big man, be ready to learn.
Nah, Tom. Mm. Go in on these people, and just I'll say why it's important.
Because people don't want to hear word. Mm. They don't want to hear word. And a word is enough for the wise. Listen, I'm starting to sound like my dad, bro.
all you need is the wife beater vest and the sandals now.
Yeah. Yeah. But like Tom's going hard, but you have to kill ego. As well, and be humble. But where Kanye was, believed in himself, but like Tom was saying, he was humble enough to still have mentors. He wasn't delusional to a point where he's like, I don't need no one to teach me how to make beats, man. I don't need to learn. I'll just go in the studio. I believe in myself, so let me just...
Whatever I put out will be gold. Stuff.
Yeah.
Listen, there's a fine line between self-belief and delusion.
Yeah.
There's a fine line.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, like you just need to humble yourself, kill the ego, and then go in and do the work.
Facts.
But just where Kanye started, I guess you can say he's consistent, right?
Yeah, he is definitely consistent. He's consistent.
Yeah,
like, it makes sense now. That's another good thing for the documentary. It was enlightening, because you look at Kanye now, and the reason he's been in the media really for the past couple of years hasn't really been for his music, it's just been for like his behavior and shit he's been doing, right? But you could put that down to his bipolar disorder, right? But then I never cared to look up Kanye's past before. So then when I saw this documentary and the relationship he had with his mom, which has always been like obvious from his music and stuff, but just seeing it on camera, like him coming around with his friends, the cameraman as well, then he's just like, he knocked on the door and his mom was like, oh, Kanye? And he's like, yeah, I got a couple of people with me. She let them in, they all start hugging, blah, 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 sit down, start rapping. And you see Kanye, his mom say, yeah, he could seem a little bit narcissistic, all that kind of sort of stuff. And that's definitely what you could say about Kanye now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the way he acts sometimes seems a bit narcissistic. Even Kanye just being annoyed that someone referred to him as on the radio station. they didn't say Kanye West when they said featuring, like produced by Kanye West. They said produced by Kanye. He was like, oh, those people that call you by your first name, man. Like you're just some...
like you're just any man.
Yeah, like you're just any man. Yeah, he said, next thing they'll be calling me Ye. I was like, wow. Because he goes by Ye now. He'll take Ye now.
Yeah. Didn't he legally change his name to Ye?
Apparently so.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah, like, something that used to... he was joking, obviously, at mm-hmm. the time. But no, what? Now it's just become what? Commonplace.
Yeah.
He's just that household name guy kind of now.
Kanye West. Yeah. And I don't know, his dream was to work his way up to be Steve Jobs, Bill Gates, Walt Disney, like to be that guy where you say the first and last name, Jeff Bezos, Kanye West, Elon Musk. Like, you know them ones that maybe my name's too long to be saying all like that. Because I genuinely think like you're given certain names that people can say off the bat. There aren't that many long names that you say proper.
Like, literally, like, one of my favorite Kanye moments is when he was on his Drink Champs the podcast episode, mm-hmm. and he's like, I'm going to name drop a couple of people today. So I was in a meeting with the CEO of IKEA.
Yeah.
I know you like that one. That's what he said. And then he was like name dropping all these other businesses and these people that he was meeting. So you could say that he's actually really worked his way up there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a respectable businessman. Like, people talk about Jay-Z and business, but Kanye is the king of marketing. Like, just this whole, what's happening with Kanye now in present day, I don't know if it, and it's sad because I genuinely don't know if he's like fighting for his family or if he's promoting an album. Mm. You get me? Like, it's actually confusing because I genuinely want to know if this, after this album drops, will you still be posting on Instagram every single day?
That's true.
And thing
go on, mate.
Sorry, I was just going to say, like, because people are saying, oh, you should be making fun of him, so and so, because of mental illness. Thing is, with Kanye, again, king of marketing, how can we, obviously, there's been certain times where a man's had a breakdown. Yeah. It's different. But I'm talking about his day-to-day behavior on socials. How much can you actually chalk up to what's going on in his head and what he's doing for marketing? Like, people are on about, oh, if, like, you think people, like, act normal, you think people that aren't going through anything would be acting like this. You guys just make fun of someone's mental illness. But, bro, he knows how to blow up when he wants to.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like,
so how much can you actually chalk up to whatever mental illnesses that he's suffering with?
Have you seen his Insta recently? He's treating it like it's a meme page.
Yeah. He's posting anything. His mortal enemy.
He's literally treating it like it's a meme page.
Because right now, he's kind of reminding me of 50 Cent.
Yeah.
He's kind of reminding me of 50 Cent.
Yeah, because 50's on the bands thing too, but 50's, he's calculated with it and Kanye's the same. He's like that because... like, he understands his narrative, and some guy was talking about it, like, maybe on TMZ or some news guy, and they were talking that Kanye basically said, oh, make sure you post the one where I'm acting out because that's what people expect of me, and that's going to do views. Like, he's aware of his public image and how to use his public image. And like I said, I'll be very disappointed in my man just disappearing after the album drops, like, rah, so you only talked about your family... pretended to be this guy, I'm fighting for my life here. They're taking away my kids. I can't see my kids. Album drops, silence. What happened to your kids, Kanye?
Nah, one of the funniest posts he put on was when he put that picture saying he wasn't hacked. Man looked like he got kidnapped by ISIS.
It was the Kardashian clan, fam. The KKK. The Kardashian clan were holding man hostage too. Nah. Wait, any new posts?
Yeah, there's bare new posts, but I remember something huge, So yesterday, he was like, Donda 2 is only going to be available on his platform, the STEM player.
You know
that little circular thing, like
the
mini Google Home, So that's the only thing that's going to be available on.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to pay $200 for that.
Yep.
I swear he sold a lot, isn't
he? Yeah, he sold a lot. He sold a lot.
The latest one.
The numbers are there.
2 million in 24 hours.
To be honest, I understand the position he's coming from because some people say he's crazy for doing that. But one, he's made money and he wants to keep the streaming platforms out of it.
Yeah.
Like, as you see now, he's like beefing with the CEO of Spotify or whatever.
Yeah.
I've not kept up to date as of lately. But I kind of get it because you don't, unless you get a certain number of streams, you're not earning that much money. Because I swear on Spotify, for like a stream is 0.0003. Yeah. I was like,
we're talking 10 zeros before you.
Exactly. Like, so I understand the angle of where he's coming from of making exclusive. Is it on a pod? What's it called?
It's the stem player.
The stem player. So I understand this angle of where why he's putting the songs on the exclusive.
It's like an iPod.
Yeah.
Yeah. So a little iPod where he plays music off it. And yeah, that's the stem player right there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, it's cool though what it does for music. Like, you become a DJ so you can isolate vocals for certain parts of the song. It lets you do a lot of things. It gives you a better listening experience, actually. Yeah. And the thing is, that's something Kanye can do because he has the facilities. As an artist, he has enough capital to make a stem player, distribute it, and keep streaming platforms out. Maybe he might sell this to other artists and say, hey, Drake, here's 1 million stem players. Take that, put your album on it, and then do the same thing. Fuck the streaming labels. So that might be how that business goes down in the future, where artists are now giving out stem players. Mm. But me personally, I don't see it being a full-time thing because we all like a centralized place to listen to songs.
Yeah, it's a gimmick. It won't last long. It won't last long, purely because if you have to pull this out to listen to Donda 2,
that's effort.
Even if it's good, even if it's a great album, that's long.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, you're not taking that with you everywhere.
No.
Everybody loves convenience these days. That's why Spotify's perfect for it. Like, remember the times when people went through the effort of torrenting their favorite albums, whereas Spotify now, just type it up, everything's there for you.
Not even torrenting, YouTube converter, fam.
Too many.
Just convert that, download it, put it in your file. Like, I downloaded too much music, fam. And Spotify came here and killed all the hackers, all the illegal music that was going on.
I used to laugh at people that paid for Spotify. Now look at me.
And here we are.
Here we are, bro. Yeah. I don't know, does anyone here use Apple Music?
No. I have it free.
Yeah. Oh,
but you're not gonna.
I got on my laptop, but I don't really use it.
Are they the same price?
Huh?
Apple Music and Spotify.
Similar price bracket.
For me, I just prefer Spotify. They put me onto so much new music.
Listen, Spotify Radio is the plug.
But Apple Music has that podcast with Zayn or Zach.
They do. But I just go and watch it on YouTube.
they have a good podcast.
Zayn Lowe
podcast where he interviews artists, and I think he's a pretty good interviewer.
Like, yeah, that amazing interviewer.
Based on YouTube.
Yeah,
they should have made it exclusive.
No, they do, but you just find clips of it on YouTube.
Full episodes. Like,
I'm not sure if they make it exclusive, but
it's not exclusive. There's full episodes.
Yeah,
definitely. But Spotify is moving to the exclusive, creative thing. So like people like Academics, Joe Rogan, they're keeping their videos on Spotify. Spotify might just turn into YouTube, bro.
Yeah,
like obviously. If they let any podcaster make videos, it's basically YouTube at that
point. Wait, do they let like Joe Rogan and them make videos on Spotify?
Yeah, but it's only a select few people that can make videos.
They
on
have
Spotify.
Videos on Spotify.
Yeah, they do a nice baby show as well.
Nice so like, videos on Spotify. Yes.
So basically, if you just type, go on Joe Rogan or Nice Baby Show, for example.
Yeah.
On their latest episodes for Nice Baby Show, they have like a little video in the bottom of the screen, and then you can tap if you want to go full screen.
Do I have to
play
what do
it?
Do I actually have to play the episode?
Yes.
Just mute it. But so it turns into... Do you think they're doing
this is
a limit on who can actually put videos on? I think it's like if you have maybe a certain number of followers on Spotify.
I have no idea.
It might be just the exclusives, to be fair.
Is 90 Babies exclusive
actually,
now?
To be fair, they're not exclusive. They are, what's it called? They still post the whole videos on what's it called
on YouTube.
Yeah, so I think because I know Three Shots is exclusive because they can't post the full episode.
Do they post videos on YouTube? Though?
They're not posting videos on Spotify.
They do clips on YouTube.
Okay,
but that's mad. I didn't know they could do that on Spotify.
And as time goes by, more people are gonna gain access to be able to post videos on. So I don't know. Spotify is cutting into that YouTube cake. You know, getting a nice slice of that.
Are you guys looking forward to Donda 2?
If someone leaks it, and someone will leak it. And the way, I genuinely think he's going to release Donda on streaming platforms.
He definitely has to.
And you know what's mad? No one's going to say anything too. Like, you lied. We spent £200 thinking it's only going to be on this. Like, no one's going to say anything.
It costs £200.
Yeah, it costs £200
to get the stem player. Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah, people have money to spend on that. Nah, I'm just deep in it. $200 on that little thing to just hear one album.
One album.
For me, an album doesn't slap that much. Let me buy my vinyls, fam.
Yeah, honestly, vinyls, you can do all that other stuff, man. But nah, Donda, I don't think it's going to be that good. I listened to the 504 in New York City song. It's all right. It didn't slap that off the grid. Off the grid, just that goes too hard, man.
And what would you guys say is Kanye's best album?
My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy.
You said that so fast.
I haven't listened to all of them to give
them. Anyone that says college dropout, any of the first ones, is just nostalgia talking. I can't listen to you. I can't listen to people that only use nostalgia, fam. I can't be bothered.
Not for me.
I agree with Tough. I'm sorry, what are you going to say?
I
agree with Tough, but I think 808s and Heartbreaks is underrated.
You must have been going through it, boy.
Yeah. I feel like people need to
Man was screaming the lyrics with conviction at eight years old.
For me, it was Streetlights, yeah. Oh, listen. Streetlights, that song hits my heart. I don't know why it hits my heart, but I love it.
Huh? How did it go?
Streetlights, going, happy. It's pretty much just him singing. It's not even rapping.
Oh.
It's just him singing. But I just like the song. Yeah. Mm. I just like the song, but I just feel like that album isn't talked about as much as it should be. Because he has so many other great albums.
Mm-hmm. Wait, Streetlights, was that an 808 Heartbreak? Or?
Yeah, 808 and Heartbreaks.
Oh, calm. Like, for me, same with Tough, My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, but closely behind it is Graduation.
Graduation.
That's the one with Stronger on it, Barry Bonds.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oof, nah.
Mm-hmm.
He's just crazy.
Which one would I say?
I don't know.
That comes after... What? Yeah, then I put in the nostalgia ones. I put in his first album.
College Dropout.
Yeah, I think that had the...
Can we go back to the moment where he was playing All Falls Down, the original one with Lauryn Hill on it,
mm-hmm.
and the executive behind the desk just stood there, like, just sat there like...
Like, she didn't care, bro. She didn't care. But I hear the backstory behind that. You know Wayno? Mm-hmm. He was on thingy. Wayno basically said the backstory behind that clip where he went in is that he did that bare, like, he did it like 10 times, camera crew. So they were just like, it was normal. Maybe by that time they recorded that specific shot they used. So the context behind it seems like no one cared, but it could have been, they were just tired.
And to another point of view is I saw someone on Twitter saying, people are acting like they would have known that was a hit song too. So it's like, I do get it. But on the other hand, it shows that some executives may not know may not understand what they're doing and like, may not be able to identify a hit song. I'm not saying that I could or your average Joe could, but like with music, as we've all said before, it's just chance. Yeah. Anything could happen. The same thing happened to, do you know, It Wasn't Me by Shaggy.
Mm-hmm.
The exact same thing happened. All the record executives hated it. No one fucked with it. Mm-hmm. It was some DJ from Hawaii who downloaded it illegally from this thing called Napster. And that's when he started getting all the calls in saying, what song is this? It wasn't me by Shaggy. Thank you. So, and look how it is today. Like, it literally, remember the time it was, it might even still be a pop culture reference. If someone says you did something, it wasn't me.
Yeah.
So, for the thing is, like, as you said before, you may have to just have some faith in yourself.
Yeah.
And those executives behind those chairs may not know what they're doing sometimes.
Yeah, and it pisses me off too. That if you think these executives are smart, they're not, bro. It's all lizard brain. Like, I promise you, it's just their lizard brain. Like, well, Jay-Z's popular and he raps about drugs. Kanye's not rapping about drugs, so this isn't a banger. That's it. Same with movies, bro. Like, you look at The Godfather or Scarface, yeah? At that period in time in Hollywood, drug movies were popping. If you come to these big things like Sony, Universal, and talk about, we have this movie about something, maybe you call it The Notebook, yeah? They're going to say, The Notebook? Are you mad? We want drugs, bro. What do you mean? Right now, superhero films are popping up. Amazon has a fucking superhero shows that it has The Boys, superheroes. Netflix has its own thing, superheroes. Like, everyone's running to find some superhero franchise because that's the in thing now. So if you're the guy that came up with Squid Game, and you're trying to give Squid Game to people while Iron Man's dropping and all that stuff, they're going to look at you like you're dumb. Yeah. Like, they're going to say Squid Game's a shit show. No one's going to watch that because they're just basing it on what was previously successful, hoping to replicate success again. Because with executives, it's just about money. They just want to know if this worked, this might also make me money. I don't know that. That's unknown. And I don't want to risk my money on something that's not been proven and unknown. So I'll always put money in stuff that's previously worked. Because again, you are asking for like 10 million, like 40 million. So that makes sense. But you can't rely on executives and someone to tell you that. So that's why you, as an artist, it's hard because you can either be creative or you can be appropriate for the industry and the marketplace. So you might need to drop a few drill bars because drill's in right now and then maybe transition into something else because people can understand you rapping drill. Like the executives, their lizard brains, like, well, Heady One's popping. You sound like Heady One, so let's give him a deal. Like, it's that simple. it's sad, but it's true.
Nah.
Honestly.
For real, man.
Yeah.
And bouncing off that with music executives and whatnot, do you guys think that artists not owning their masters is fair to an extent?
Because how else will they make money?
Because yeah. That's my
like,
point.
Like, it's
because,
a risk, isn't it?
Yeah, like, for example, if, let's say, Taylor Swift, she's going through her own masters battles right now. Mm. Imagine the A&R person finds this person, puts all their investment in them, and then Taylor Swift's like, oh, fuck this, let's go. That means you've lost so much more money.
Can you explain masters real quick?
So basically, music masters is the ownership or the actual song in itself.
Yeah.
So some people, so for example, like, a lot of artists don't own their masters, and the owning your masters gives you the opportunity to make more money for yourself. So for example, when music is played in like these massive commercial spaces, it's always made. For example, The Weeknd, do you know the song The Hills?
Yeah.
That's literally played. For me, like me and my mates joke about it, saying The Weeknd makes car advert music and whatnot, because that's where a lot of money's made.
Yeah.
And if you don't own your masters, you don't generate extra money for that, if you get what I mean.
So they take your song and give it out to people and you don't even make peas.
But you can pick and choose which masters you want, like there's percentages and whatnot behind the whole thing. Yeah. I don't know fully myself, but that's just the gist of it, because I'm still, like, I'm interested in the music industry and I'm learning more about it as the day goes on. So that's just the gist of music masters.
I don't know. I just think that people, because you see on Twitter a lot, it's like, oh, I can't believe Diddy swindled this so-and-so out of his masters and won't give it back. They were on about, I think they were talking about Diddy a while ago.
Yeah.
And they're on about, I can't believe he took his masters, I won't give it back, I won't sell them back. What the hell? Aren't you the one that said you want to
own the shit?
Yeah, I get black that.
I was like, hold on, you think he's going to do it for free?
Yeah.
You think that, bruv, because if this shit flops, Diddy's out of pocket, not the artist.
Mm.
Diddy could really lose money. If he does, so you think he's gonna accept all the chance of loss without the chance of success?
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah, like I'm not in the music industry or anything like that. Yeah, but all I understand is people need to make money.
Definitely.
If you come to me as an artist and say, okay, I want studio time that you'll have to fund. I want you to fund my marketing and all these things that I want you to fund. Yeah. And you're saying this to me, my question is, where do I make profit? Like, please tell me where I make profit. When is it okay for me to take money? Because the narrative in the media now is these record labels are stealing money from us. And you are getting shagged in your deals.
Yeah.
You are. Yeah. But they have to make money. Mm. So there needs to be a conversation where people can say, okay, these 360 contracts where you're making money out of everything we do, this is slavery. You get me? So let's find a middle ground where you're happy with the money you make and we're happy with the money that we're giving you. So it's not one-sided, because you hear a lot of artists say they don't make money off streams. Like, so many rappers that I listen to will come out and say, I've never made money off this album, that album, that album.
Yeah.
I only make money off tours and the concerts. That's it. So when COVID hit, bare rappers were struggling, bro.
Yeah, no, even with COVID, like, you have music legends, for example, Bob Dylan, he was selling his masters. His master's value was 400 million.
Right.
And that was because he's getting older. He may not be able to have the energy to tour anymore. And he's thinking about... I'm not saying that this is what he's thinking about, but other music legends, what they're thinking about when they sell their masters. Because that is a lot of money to have in at once to give ownership of your music masters to someone else. Yeah. So music masters is really important, and it's a lot in the music industry.
I mean, what Taylor Swift ended up doing, so she ended up re-recording all her original songs.
She re-recorded it, them as well. And she keeps everything because she writes her own music.
And if you what's it called? If you go on Spotify, you can actually, let's say Love Story.
Yeah.
If you search up Love Story, it'll come up as Love Story. Then a second song will come up as like Love Story in bracket Taylor's version.
Yeah.
Mm. Wait, so does that change that if you re-record it yourself?
Yeah.
No, because it means that every stream you get, it's going to her instead of the label.
Even though it's the same song.
Same song, but it's just who owns it.
Yeah. Do you remember the singer JoJo?
Yeah.
She did the same thing.
Okay. TLC, they were in a similar pickle, isn't it?
They were the Grammys out here saying, we're not that
rich. They said we're broke.
Yeah.
They flat out said we're broke on camera. Like, we ain't made money from our albums. We're one of the top selling groups, top three, I think they were saying at the time.
That is the original Broke Boy anthem, No Scrubs.
Yeah.
And they didn't make money as much from
But isn't it like, whenever like a song on Spotify, it says remastered? Does that mean what's it called? Someone else owns the masters. What does that actually mean?
Remastered could generally mean like they redid it and touched it up.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they would outright say remastered because that doesn't mean anything to your everyday consumer.
No, I mean like, yeah, you know what Spotify like, when it actually says remastered.
Like with Michael Jackson's songs with the Bad album, remastered.
Okay.
I think it's just touching it up.
Hold on. Let me do my Googles.
Because to me, I don't know how else labels make money. Streaming platforms, they cut a big chunk. Yeah, but I saw a chart that showed you exactly where all that money goes from when you get that stream and why the artist is at the bottom. If it's like a hierarchy, the artist is down here when it comes to payment from that stream, bro.
Yeah.
Your label's getting a piece. Spotify's dividing that up. Advertising, all these other things are eating off that one song you make, bro. And then you're just there at the bottom.
Yeah, so that's because, and this is peak. But then you just have to think about it like this, right? Notice definitely how they did it a couple of years ago, right? For a lot of rappers and artists, they'll give you money. Oh, Advance. We'll give you a set amount of money, but we want, let's say, 3-4 albums from you.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to commit to a promise that you're going to be with this record, give them 3-4 albums, and they're going to give you a large sum of money right now.
Also, they tell you when to drop those albums, so you can't just bash out three in a year.
So you do 3-4 albums. And then you would have already made, let's say, a couple million off those albums before you even made those albums a couple of years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
Those 3-4 albums, let's say they won that over 6 years. That's 6 years you're just committed to this record, to this record label.
Yeah.
You could not be passionate about it anymore. You could have done 2 albums now. Maybe one of them flopped.
Mm-hmm.
In that time, your value can dip as an artist.
Definitely.
Yeah. So you've already got money. If you invested that well, you could still be living off that money, right? Whereas the label has to bet that your albums are going to be successful.
Yeah.
Because they like you said, studio time, distributing. Because
mm-hmm.
you have to pay to put your money on Spotify in the first place, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So then after that as well, that's why the artist ends up being at the bottom.
Yeah.
That's why as an artist, you need to negotiate if you're doing one of those lump sums for album deals. Yeah. For a certain amount of albums, like don't ever commit for bare long. I know Billions. Who was it?
Millions,
sorry.
The rapper. Mm-hmm.
The rapper, he committed to like a couple bags and he was like, 7-8 albums? He's still fighting to get
albums. I'm talking about Millions, the rapper.
In the UK.
The Brum.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Where you deep it? Michael
Jackson. I love that guy. No, he didn't.
He did. He's fighting to get out of that right now.
How many albums?
7.
I think it's like 7-8 albums. I'm pretty sure you put bags down.
When you put that in context, Michael Jackson had a career from 6-year-old child to a 50-year-old man. He just about released 10 studio albums.
Nah, you see what I mean? Millions, fam. you know what's peak about an artist, yeah? I watched DJ Academics. Like, he's more into this shit. And his delivery is funny when he's telling you this. But what's worst about the Millions situation is, if Millions isn't hot anymore, what happens is another artist comes in, right? And because you signed that contract and that other artist is in now, when that artist becomes hot, you get put on a shelf.
Yeah,
exactly.
You can't do anything because you signed this contract about these albums and the label's like, well, even if you gave us those albums, they won't make any money. So why would we waste studio time? Exactly. So there's no incentive to get those albums out. So you're in a contract where you're just locked in, one album in, Millions. Oh, no.
That's what they tried to do with Frank Ocean, but Frank Ocean finessed them.
Yeah, he finessed it.
Well, what did he do? What was
so
the story about
basically,
that
one? He signed to Def Jam, I think it was, as a songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
He's wrote songs for Justin Bieber, Beyonce, other big artists and whatnot. And he didn't like that. He wanted to be Frank Ocean. And they shelved him for quite some time. So then he dropped his mixtape, Nostalgia Ultra, one of my favorite Frank projects. And the record label had taken notice of him. So as time went on, he started to make Channel Orange released. It went massive. I think he won a Grammy for that album as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went away. And then because I'll need to look into what he was actually signed to, if that information's out there. But he basically dropped an album that really wasn't as important as I'd say. And it was hard to access because literally the album's called Endless. And it was just a long video of him building some stuff It was hours long. And supposedly that had fulfilled his contractual obligation. And then he released Blonde afterwards. So that means he gets all his money. Like, if you look on Spotify now, I think he says it's dropped onto Blonded. Blonded, I think that's his record label. And for that, it was exclusively on Apple Music for a while. Yeah. And they gave him 20 million. The record label didn't see any of that. Mm. That Endless album, that only made around $150,000. Yeah. So it didn't make him much money in the long run. Mm-hmm. And it's not on streaming platforms as well, so it's not as accessible. So he's just there chilling.
And just the music industry in general, from what I hear, you can be an independent artist like Russ, Chance the Rapper, and some other people that are independent, but the independent grind is long and you might not get the recognition because, again, a label might have the networking opportunities. Yeah. You might share a label with Dave or...
They have the budget to actually put you on there.
Yeah, they have the budget to put you in these places. The Brits, they have the budget to put you around people to get your clout up. When you're independent, that's just it's just you and your fan base. And it's a very slow and steady grind. But the reward you reap is that you get to keep your own money in that. You get me?
Yeah, people need to focus more on the business side. I'm not saying that I'm some expert, but as time goes on and you see it time and time and time again, you need to be you need to have your head screwed on about the business side.
Because these are predatory deals. They are predatory deals. Like, they just take advantage of you. And I think Academics was saying something like this. Oh, this is another thing to take note of, yeah? Mm. If if artists collectively say that the record labels are taking money from them, why do artists then make their own labels? Why does DaBaby have a record label where he signs artists under him? Mm. Lil Baby has a label. Young Thug has a label. All these rappers now have labels where they get artists. It's like a pyramid scheme. Like, I lost my money to these man, so let me get these man, and I start making money off them. Because the way Academics explain it is that if you had 10 artists in a label, all you need is one to blow, and that one winner will pay for the rest of these wastemen. That's how much money that these record labels make. Like, just sign anyone. Like, if as long as one of them does well, like, these waste man, you can just put them on a shelf like Millions. Because, bro, if Millions doesn't drop and, like, if he doesn't maintain relevance and become a bigger artist in the UK, he's on a shelf where as soon as the next hot guy on that label comes, fam. And we'll never hear from him again. Like, the label will finish him. Damn. Nah, that's tragic to hear about that one, man.
Tough times, man.
Very tough times. Very, very tough times. But I think crypto or the NFT technology, it might change how music is handled in terms of payment and money coming to the artist.
Yeah.
Because there could be a direct-to-consumer relationship. So think of the stem player where you're buying this album on a stem player and it's yours. You hold that. Like, it's from Kanye straight to you. But with an NFT, it's like a link where you can access this. I think the technology is still being made. Like, you could probably have maybe someone out there that's smart enough will figure out the puzzle of how do we get artists to make all their money from stream to the listener.
Someone will figure that out because technology is crazy.
For now, we're just going to keep trading these apes.
you can literally just make NFTs from everything.
Yeah.
Like, I was watching this UFC press conference with Israel Adesanya and Robert Whittaker.
Yeah.
He had an NFT. So this press conference was for their second fight. He had an NFT where he had like a video replaying of him knocking him out in the first round.
Oh, I saw it. Did he put it on the chain, innit? Nah. Israel's actually funny. He's actually too funny. He's proper funny, man. And no. The NFT thing, it's serious. It's definitely serious. Yeah. It's almost an hour, guys. It's been a lovely conversation with you. We talked a lot about the industry, the Kanye West documentary, some positive role models in your life. You know, you got an insight into the Sliders record label. And now right there we have our music lawyer, our sound engineer. Well, another sound engineer.
I don't do sound.
It was a play on words. You do engineering, so I was like sound engineer, but
I'm just saying you're the one that edits this shit, bro.
No script involved anyway.
There was no script involved. You're the one that edits this stuff, bro.
But, you know.
Before we cut,
what would
you guys say is your song of the week?
Song of the week?
Ooh. For you all.
Listen, Mo put me onto a song. Listen, I've been bopping to it since.
Okay.
Which Hold one? On.
Oh. You're welcome, by the way.
No, I was listening. I was like, because we were at Toby's yard, remember? And yeah. we were listening to music. I was like, this is a rhythm, you know, because we weren't even paying attention to the music. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is actually a bop.
Oh, while you're still thinking of yours, I managed to go into Izzo by Jay-Z.
Oh, yeah, very on brand with this episode.
Yeah. Oh, it reminded you, didn't it? Just like, yeah. Best streams were not, fam, when the Kanye West documentary dropped.
Definitely.
Like, what's yours, Fola?
For me, it's Summer Madness by Kool and the Gang.
Who's Kool and the Gang?
You don't know who Kool and the Gang?
No.
They made
Uncultured Swine.
You've definitely heard one of the Celebration. Yeah. They're the band who made that song.
Okay. And what was the song?
Get Down On It. Come on, you get down on it.
Bro, these are advert songs, you know?
Yeah.
These are proper advert songs.
Summer Madness is one of my... Literally, when I was doing my... It's not even my song of the week. It's just my song of all time at the moment. Mm. Because remember Spotify Rap? They do that every year.
Yeah.
When I discovered that song, at the time, when they did that Spotify Rap, I played that 650 times when they did the rap. So it's like, that's my go-to song. But yeah, Summer Madness by Kool and the Gang.
Yep. My go-to song is Gunman Shift by Skank.
Of course.
Of course.
Honestly, you know Crocodile Teeth? When Crocodile Teeth like hit TikTok and stuff, that blew up. But Gunman Shift, when that hits, yeah, I'll be on that one. I need to hear that on a night out one time. But yeah, Tom?
What's it called? Paris in the Rain or Black Hole Sun?
What's that? Is that country?
No, it's not. I don't even know.
Just because I'm not taff, not just because I'm not a big driller like you with a fat chain around my neck.
Nah, this guy's even like DMX, you know.
Bro, look at that. That's a bike chain, taff.
I've
been waiting for this.
All he needs to do is go bald, bro.
Taff, I beg, be careful before your neck turns green.
That's why I'm wearing it over the.
But Paris in the Rain by Love and Black Hole Sun by Patrick CC, Joanna Z and Skywar.
But what genre is that?
R&B. I can't even.
That's R&B.
R&B.
I can't
even tell you. They're just vibing.
Nah. Oh, you listen to it too?
I'm the one that gave it to tell.
Oh, really?
To put the cherry on top for this episode, we need to have to sing Rough Riders Anthem. Or what these bitches want from a nigga.
Hey, man, that's true.
What these bitches want from a nigga.
But yeah, man, this was the Sliders record label. Come sign to us, man. What is it? Come to Def Jam.
We'll shelve you and take your money.
Yeah. Death Row Records, nigga. Hey, we out of here, man.
Anyway, guys, thank you for listening. Make sure you like, comment, and subscribe.
Yes,
follow us on Instagram and TikTok. Mm-hmm. Like the page on Facebook.
Yes.
You know, follow us on Spotify and all major streaming platforms except for Spotify. Because Spotify is your main streaming platform at this big age. Because more time people are listening to this, 17 minimum. 17. At this big age, if SoundCloud is your main streaming platform, have some fucking shame.
We ain't even on that.
Have some fucking shame.
Shame.
Listen, I'm not even saying you need to get Spotify Premium. But SoundCloud being your main platform, like SoundCloud is the secondary thing. That can't be your mate. Have shame.
Yeah, you talk to him, bro.
I can't lie. Spotify on basic plan is dead. I understand why people are on SoundCloud.
It is
dead.
Imagine,
kill you.
When I deep it,
get the hacked version.
When I deep it, we were living like that, you know.
Listen,
before we even got monthly memberships.
And all I'm saying,
college times. Advert every half hour, bro.
But all I'm saying, if you're too broke for Spotify, you're too broke to have an iPhone. Go get Android and get the hacked version.
No, we don't endorse that.
No, we're talking about Spotify Basic. Some man were living off YouTube, streaming music on YouTube where you can't even turn your phone off.
Deep it.
YouTube has that.
YouTube Premium. No, I can't lie. I have that. That works wonders. No adverts. Never again.
Oh, get Adblock. True. Get Adblock.
I got Adblock on your phone.
Oh, on my phone, I don't watch YouTube that much.
Like, literally, like, when you think about it, people are actually using YouTube, as you said. Like, you couldn't even turn off the screen. You just had to put it in your pocket and hope for the best.
Hope that it doesn't touch the wrong thing.
Do you know when you're putting the screen facing outwards?
Yeah.
So it's not even against your leg.
Yeah, man. No, I couldn't do that.
But anyway, thank you guys for listening. Shout out to you, man, for What subscriber count? Right, listen,
187.
Subscribe, guys. Fucking subscribe.
Let's get to the 200.
Nicely, no more, bro. Fucking subscribe, bro. I've been asking for too long.
Yes, sir.
Subscribe.
We need to go to Miami. You have to subscribe. Once I get this passport sorted out, we're flying out.
Yeah.
My passport's been missing for a while.
Pretty Patel, where are you?
I'm just saying, Mo has Pretty Patel on speed dial still. Mm? So you need to be careful. You need to be careful, boy.
Okay, let's wrap
this anyway, up. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. I have been your host, Man Like Tom, King of Toxicity, voice in the streets. We love to hear it.
It's been your boy, Who's Taff. You found it on the pod, aka the champion, and we've had.
It's also been your boy, Mo, aka the wild card.
And we have been joined by
Fuller with no aka.
Beatty's boy.
Mm-hmm. And this has been Slide
Sliding out. Peace.